Got it now?
Good, good. Turn me to 1 Samuel, the 17th chapter. We'll take our time and talk about David tonight. The author did a good job in bringing all of the aspects of the soul together and then bringing all of the aspects of the soul together and then allowing the spirit to be expressed. I know we talked about this before, but it's a great time to bring it up again, that the only purpose of the soul is to give your spirit expression. It's the only purpose of the soul, to give your spirit a means of expression. The purpose of the flesh is to give your soul means of expression in the natural. So your soul gives your spirit expression, and your body gives the soul expression. So this is why the spirit has to be king. The soul has to be the manager. And the flesh has to be the servant, because they're all working together. The flesh doesn't do anything that the soul does not initiate. But the soul can do some things that the spirit don't initiate. Oh, how well we know that. That the soul can initiate some things that the spirit does not condone or approve of. So this is why we have to understand, this is why we took so much time this year to understand the soul. Man, the body of Christ, the word religious used to have a good meaning. But in today's terms, it doesn't have a good meaning. And the reason why is religion is turned out to be God's idea about who God is. Man's idea about who God is. That's what religion turned out to be. Man's idea about who God is. Kingdom is God's ideas about who he is. See, so religious. Some people are religious, meaning they just go through rituals to try to show everybody else how spiritual they are. Matter of fact, spiritual, definition of spiritual is simply this: whatever God says. That's spiritual. So now that eliminates all these religious acts, the religious hoopla of people trying to convince you that they're spiritual. Is only what God says that is spiritual. The Bible says God is spirit. Those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So if God is a spirit, everything he says has the origin of spirit. So it is spiritual. All the rest of that stuff is just hoopla. If God didn't ordain it, or God didn't condone it, or God didn't initiate it, or God didn't start it, it's just religious. So people have a tendency to try to be religious. And some people don't want to be labeled as being spiritual. But when you properly allow your spirit to be king, your soul to be the manager, and your flesh to be the slave, you can properly express God in the earth realm. That's the whole idea, is to properly express God in the earth realm. David did an excellent job with this. An author did an excellent job pointing it out. You remember the five parts: the emotion, the will, the memory, the intellect, and the imagination. David, when he was dealing with Goliath, brought all these together. And we're going to take our time and go through each one of them and show you how he went through each aspect of the soul, which allowed his spirit to be expressed and for God's will to be done. Look in the this 1 Samuel 17, verse 26, and it said, "And David spake to him, to the men that stood by him, saying, What shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" Here is David having proper emotions. His emotions were not out of check. His emotions wasn't erratic. His emotions wasn't out of control. It was checked. And what look at how his emotions were checked with. His emotions were checked with the Word of God. Because say, who is, watch this uncircumcised. Other words, all they were saying is, who this person who don't have a covenant with God trying to come against people who have a covenant with God? Now, David, those emotions are biblically lined up. You can see David like, what's wrong with y'all? Who is this man keep talking about what he going to do to us? We God's people. So his emotions he was able to properly use his emotions. Watch this now. You can hear the anger, indignation, and contempt in David's response to this threat. It was a threat against the people of God. Everybody else had the emotion of what? All other ones had, say it again, of fear. Do you see that? Even people who were trained in war, trained to fight, trained to battle, this peculiar looking, out of the ordinary person who look like they can do something, threaten them, and instead of them having an emotion, watch this, it's about to be very good, having an emotion driven by the Word of God, they had an emotion driven by a mind not renewed with the Word of God. Because David came in and said, well, who is this uncircumcised Philistine trying to come against the armies of God, the children of God? David knew he had a covenant with God. The rest of them knew they had a covenant with God. But what was the difference? They didn't renew their minds with the covenant. So therefore, they will get the improper emotion. Are y'all saying this? Go with me to the 32nd verse. Here's one thing about a person that soul is properly operating behind their spirit. Verse 32, and David said to Saul, the king of Israel, let no man's heart fail because of him, because of Goliath. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. That's David making a decision. What part of the soul allows you to make a decision? Anybody remember? The will. The will is where you make decisions. Now, the will feeds off of the emotions, the memory, the intellect. It feeds all of the other four to make a decision. So here it is, David is telling King Saul, look, don't none of y'all hearts fail. Don't y'all worry about it. I'm going fighting. All right? Go to verse 33. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight him, for thou art but a youth. He is a man of war from his youth. You see what Saul telling him? Saul said, you're not prepared to go do this. You're still a child. You're still a kid. This man has been fighting since he's been a kid. And David, watch what David said unto Saul. Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. Never, remember I told you this, never discount your experiences with God. Never discount your experiences, when God delivered you from something, when God gave you a word that caused you to make a decision, that caused you to triumph. Always remember them. You need to record them. Why you need to record them? Because the next time Satan shows up, next time Satan shows up, you need to be able to remind yourself, God did these things for me. We about to take care of this. David knew he was prepared to take care of Goliath because watch this. Even though the situation may be different, the scenario is the same. So therefore, David used his memory to, watch this, to strengthen his will. If God let me kill a lion, if he strengthened me to kill a lion to save the, all, watch this. This is good. Your memory reminds you of training. Your memory reminds you of training. So that's why you can never discount your experiences with God. Because every experience you have with God in a situation is training for the next level. So if David had not faced those lions, had not faced that bear, he would not have been prepared to face Goliath. You see how the soul is working? He had the proper emotions. Emotions checked by the word of God. His emotions, the Bible says, be angry. What? And sin not. So ain't nothing wrong with getting angry. Just don't sin. David was actually angry that out of all these people, this man kept coming back and threatening them. And you mean to tell me we got to come to God and nobody? See, this is why you have to walk in love, walk in humility, and walk in grace. This is why. Because when you have your mind renewed with the word of God, there is a holy indignation rise up in you when you see something going wrong against the word of God. And you have to be able to have that in check. You have to be able to properly channel those emotions. David was able to properly channel those emotions. You see, the will is in effect. The will is at work for David. He decided something got to be done. Let's go. Saul, don't you worry. Don't y'all men worry. I'm going to fight this Philistine. And once he made the decision, his memory helped enforce that decision. You kill the lion. You kill the bear. This Philistine ain't no different. Watch this. Go to verse 38. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David, watch this, David said unto Saul, I cannot go with thee, for I have not proved them. And David put them off. You see what happened? Saul had given David his armor and his sword. David put them on. David said, this ain't going to work. What was happening right there? David was using his intellect to process. Is this what God wants? Is this what God wants me to do? Remember how the word said he couldn't prove. There's no place we see the word prove. Go to Romans, the 12th chapter. And it's funny, it's Romans, the 12th chapter, verse 2, talking about soul. Watch what verse 2 says. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye what? Transformed. How? By the renewing of the what? Now, why do we need to renew the mind? There you go. That ye may what? There the word is again, prove. Prove. What is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God? So now our intellect is just not to show how smart we are. But an intellect that has been renewed with the word of God can recognize what's smart. David knew that it wasn't going to be too intelligent to go out with armor and weapons he has never used. That's his intellect kicking in. David's sitting there saying, well, let me think about this. I ain't never used this. I ain't never used this armor. It don't fit. I ain't never used this. Nah, I ain't need, watch this, memory. I didn't need this when I went with, when I dealt with the lion, when I dealt with the bear. I didn't need none of this stuff. Recognizing, another word for prove. He wasn't able, David was not able to recognize how that was going to help him. That's the purpose of an intellect renewed with the word of God. Being able to recognize. Not so much being able to figure out, being able to recognize. See, the answers for your situation are always around you. Matter of fact, answers to your situation, listen to that minute, answers to your situations are always with you. Go to 1 John, 2nd chapter. Verse 20. 1 John 2, verse 20. But ye have an unction from the Holy One. And what it says. Come on, see it. Let's see it. Verse 20. It says what? But ye have an unction from the Holy One. And what? Wait a minute. It says you have an unction from the Holy One, and what happened? I know all things, but to discover them, I have to have an unction from the Holy One. So the answer to whatever you're dealing with, listen to the internet, is always with you. You have an unction, and you know all things. What that means? That means the answer is always on the inside of you. But the unction from the Holy One is the one that reveals it. Go to verse 27. Watch this. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you all things, and is truth, and is no lie, even as it has taught you, ye shall abide in him. All that simply saying, all that these two scriptures are simply saying is the answer is always with you. You don't need nobody to walk you. You don't need nobody to grab you by the hand and walk you in your Christian life. Walk, guide you in your Christian life. See, that's the problem that people have with the apostolic. One of the problems that people have with the apostolic is the apostolic forces maturity. It forces you to grow. It forces you to man up, woman up. It forces you to. Why? Because the apostolic is more about every joint supply, not every joint getting supplied. There's a difference. Every joint supplying and every joint getting supplied. There's a difference. So now you're going to find that your apostolic leader, listen to me to that. Your apostolic leader is not always going to give you every answer. Sometimes that you ask them a question, they ain't going to answer you. Sometimes you're going to want a counsel session. You ain't going to get it. Why? Because it's meant for you. You have an unction. It's meant for you to get with the Holy One. Our apostolic leaders positions us to hear from the Holy One. So this is what David did. David was able to, because of renewed mind, his whole mind is renewed. So when your whole mind is renewed, every aspect operates properly. Your emotions are in check. His will is making the right decision. His intellect, his memory kicked in. His intellect Are y'all seeing this? Watch this. Go to the 42nd verse. Of 1 Samuel 17. Now, I want you to notice something. There's no reason in the world why somebody who does not have covenant with God can outsmart somebody who has covenant with God. There's no reason for that. There's no reason for that. There's no reason for somebody who does not have a covenant with God. And watch this. I'm not just talking about heathens. I'm also talking about some Christians who are carnal Christians who don't want operating covenant with God. There's no reason in the world they should outsmart you. If you in the will of God, you're yielding to God, you shouldn't be outsmarted by none of them that don't have that, either that's not operating properly in covenant with God or don't have a covenant with God at all. It shouldn't happen. Here it is, Goliath relying on his side. Relying on his physical features. Verse 42, and when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh to the fowls of the air, to the beast of the field. Then David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts and the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hands, and I will smite thee and take thy head from thee, and I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistine this day unto the fowls of the air and unto the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Wait a minute now. Has any of this happened yet? So what David is using here? Talk about the fire. Watch this. What is David using here? You got the memory. You got the intellect. You got the will. What he's using? There you go. Using his imagination. Which is prophecy. I encourage everybody, watch my internet, I encourage you to listen to the apostles' message from yesterday. Today is what? Monday. What the date is?
The third.
April the 2nd. Go listen at it. Because then you'll see that your imagination helps you to prophesy. Your imagination helps you to prophesy. Here's where people get in trouble with prophecy. Here's where people get in trouble at. Is when you begin to try to take what you say and direct other people. But here, David's imagination, which he was prophesying, his imagination wasn't doing nothing but what God promised. It was Goliath, the one that was coming against what God had ordained. So anytime somebody come against what God ordained, you got a right to speak against it. But you better make sure it's coming against God won't, not against what you want. See, so his imagination, none of that happened yet. He didn't do none of that stuff. All he was doing was using his imagination, right? And David, verse 49, put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slang it and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with the sling and with the stone and smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and took stood upon the Philistine, took his sword and drew it out of his sheath, therefore, and slew him and cut off his head. Now, I want you to understand something. how powerful. Think about this. See, you have, when you're reading the Word of God, listen to that, when you're reading the Word of God, you have to have a very vivid imagination. Now, anybody know how tall Goliath was? Anybody remember? I think it was 9 foot six. 9 foot six, I think it was. I think it was 9 foot six. I think it was 9 foot six. David the prophesied, "I'm gonna cut your head off. I'm gonna feed your body to the wild beast, to the birds of the air." All right. Now he didn't imagine that. He'd imagined and spoke it out, prophesied. He took the stone, slung it, hit the Philistine in the head, sunk in his head. Philistine, Goliath dropped. The Bible says David didn't have a sword. Whose sword did he go get? Goliath, right? How tall Goliath is? How big you think that sword was? I'm telling you, listen now, I'm telling you something. How big you think that sword was? Iron. It was made to balance Goliath so he can use it effectively. David ran to him, stood on him, got his sword. How much strength do you think David had to have at that moment? Are y'all seeing this? If you renew your mind properly and allow all aspects of your mind to cooperate with your spirit, you become limitless. There are no limits to what you can do. No limits to where you can go. No limits as to what you can accomplish. But you have to make sure that your soul properly aligns with your spirit. When you properly align your spirit, properly align your soul with your spirit, I mean, it just dawned on me just then when I read that. You think about it. David, what kind of strength David had to have to go get that sword, use Goliath's sword to cut his head off? You got to remember now, the sword was made for Goliath. He's 9 foot 6. He's been a fighter since youth. So therefore, he had the perfect sword to do battle with. It was heavy enough to balance his weight. David, 17, didn't even take Saul's sword. But yet, watch what David said. Watch what David said. David said, "I'm going to cut your head off." David didn't have no sword. But his imagination was so strong. His mind was renewed so much that David used his imagination to prophesy, "I'm going to cut your head off." So at the moment, watch this. When David realized he didn't have a sword, he didn't run back to Saul's sword. Now watch this. Let's go a little bit deeper now. Let's go a little bit deeper. The reason why David didn't go back to Saul's sword is because that sword had a chance to do what God wanted to do, and it didn't do it. So David said, "I'm not going backwards to do what God wanted to do. I'm always going forward." So God said, if you brave enough to go forward, I'm brave enough to give you the strength to go forward. That's why he was able to go get that sword, lift that sword up, and handle it just like it was made for him. Are y'all seeing this? See, I'm not oversimplifying it, but that's why you have to take time to renew your mind with the Word of God. That's why you have to take time to feed your mind with the Word of God. The Word of God should be the thing you listen at the most. I mean, it should be the thing that you're paying attention to the most. Not TV, not reading mystery novels, romantic novels, not all that, the Word of God. Because at the end of the day, none of the rest of that stuff gonna help you with your situations. You don't need to remember what mystery got solved when Satan getting ready to beat you upside your head. You don't need to remember what line was used in Law and Order. You know, or what funny statement was said in Blackish. You don't need to, that ain't no use when you dealing with, when you facing a challenge and you need to find an answer. None of that make no sense. Am I saying you can't watch it? No, that's not what I'm saying. Just don't let it dominate you. The Word of God should be the most important thing in your life. It should be the thing that you let renew your mind more than anything else. Do you know that, go to Romans 10. We're going to close there. Romans 10. Verse 17. Romans verse chapter 10, verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That is a principle. That is a principle. Watch this. I want to see something right quick. That is a principle. It says, so faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the what? Word of God. That word, W-R-D, is translated. Anybody know what it's translated in the Greek? Pneuma, meaning a live word from God. I mean, not pneuma, rhema, I meant to say rhema. It's translated rhema, meaning a live word from God as compared to logos. Logos is the written. There you go, written word of God. Rhema is the live. Pneuma is actually spirit. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the spoken word of God. Right? That is a principle. Whatever you hear the most, that's what you're going to have faith for. So if I replace, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the romantic novel. When Satan come, you're going to have faith to deal with Satan. You're going to have faith for the romantic novel. Because that's what you've been hearing the most. Or whatever it may, I just say romantic, whatever it may be. This is why Satan can run rampant in the mind, in the life of a carnal Christian. Because their mind is never renewed with the Word of God. So if your mind is never renewed with the Word of God, you can't recognize when God is talking. If you can't recognize when God is talking, then you can't get faith. Faith comes by hearing the voice of God. The Logos is only supposed to point you, position you to hear the voice of God. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. The voice of a stranger they will not follow. My sheep, those that follow me, can recognize my voice. How do I follow him? By following the trail that he left. If I follow the trail that he left, then I can be able to recognize when he speaks in the current moment, in the present moment. Why? Because I followed the breadcrumbs that he left. You know, I followed the trail. The word of God is a trail. So when I follow the trail long enough, I can recognize when the person who left the breadcrumbs speaks. When the person who left the breadcrumbs speaks, I now have courage. And I now have, I now know what to do. Because at the same time, when I renew my mind with the word of God, when God speaks, I can recognize what he's saying. I have the right emotion. I can use the my memory properly. I can now process intellect. And I can make a decision. Then I can prophesy what I want to happen. Are y'all getting how all this works together? You see how this works together? See, this is why a lot of times people are trying to speak into existence what they don't believe. You can't speak into existence what you don't believe, because you don't believe what you hadn't been renewed about. If you haven't renewed your mind with the Word of God and you've been allowing your mind to be renewed with other things, that's what you're going to be able to speak into existence, which is nothing. Because all the rest of that stuff is nothing, just entertainment. I did explain to y'all what entertainment did, right? I explained. Entertainment just took people's minds off of the situation. Didn't change nothing. That's all entertainment does. That's why they come up with the plays and doing back in the time with the Greeks and the Romans, they came up with those plays to entertain the people, the fights in the Colosseum, to entertain the people. Why? To take their minds off their problems. What bringing no solutions, just take their minds off the problem. So that's all TV does is entertain. Just take your mind off the problem. But when your mind, when you leave the entertainment, guess what? The problem's still sitting there waiting on you. Are you seeing this? So whatever you hear the most, that's what you have faith to act upon. So if I'm not allowing my mind to be renewed, my emotions not going to be in check. I'm not going to have the right emotions. I'm not going to have the right feeling. So if my mind is not renewed, when I do face a situation, fear will grip me rather than faith. See, that's what happened to the children of Israel when Goliath. Fear grabbed them instead of faith, which grabbed David. Oh, this is a good point. Another thing, too, that you must understand. David walked into that situation. They sit there in the situation. David walked into the situation. What's the difference? Difference is David had been somewhere where his mind can be renewed. So that means you can't hang around people and situations that don't allow you to renew your mind. Because it's almost like a frog being put in a cold pot of water over a burning stove. He don't know he's about to get burned. And he slowly gets bald and never knows the difference. That's what happens to a lot of us. We're in environments and we get lulled to sleep because we don't ever recognize our surroundings and how it's brainwashing us not to have faith. I'll see y'all next week.